same team with Brother Richard. He's with the Worthington congregation. Some years ago, a few families together there trying to hold the fort together in a place, little village there in Ecuador, asked some of us in Costa Rica if we could do anything to offer them some help and some fellowship and, you know, just walk beside them a little bit. And we maybe were not very qualified to do that at the time, very prepared for it, kind of involved where we were. We gave a couple suggestions to those few families, and they followed through with those suggestions. And so our dear brothers from over here, Worthington, have taken up that project, and so I kind of feel like there's a kindred responsibility here, a kindred sense of brooding over a precious flock. And so it's just kind of a blessing to have this brother with us tonight here in this work. Let's pray. Dear Father, may your hand be upon our dear brother tonight, upon all of us as we hear. And maybe the listening tonight is just as important as the speaking, and maybe what you put into our hearts is important as you put into his. And this holy work that you do in this tower tonight is something only the grace of God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus knows how to do. And only you know what the needs are, and only you know how to reach us. And we just pause in this moment to tell you that we open our hearts to you, God, all of us. And now may your will be done, and may your voice be heard, and may your voice be obeyed in our lives as we listen tonight. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Maybe see.
Thank you, Brother Dale. Thank you, brothers. Greetings to each one of you. It's a precious, it's very precious to me to be here. As it says in Psalms 45, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I'm going to say here, my speech is here as a ready speaker, even though I'm trembling. Yes, we tremble before the Lord. And I take this picture as my heart is here, and I appreciate the things that we have heard. We are here to be strengthened. We're here to be fortified. We're here to be, we're here to break our hearts and will to the Lord Jesus Christ so that His bride may be adorned. As it says in Revelations there, that His bride is adorned with fine linen. And that fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Or in that word is the righteous actions, those equitable deeds that the Lord Jesus has done through our lives. And so, as we begin here, I was going to read here in Psalms 45 a little bit further, because it does give a picture of the church here, or the bride. My thought is, how can you and I, or are we, how well are we doing serving the bride of Christ? Are we helping that bride be ready for that adorning of that fine linen? And as we read here, I was going to save this maybe until a little bit later, but I believe I'll share this now. As I stand before you here, I am here as well with you brothers to see what the Lord wants to do in our lives while we're here. And yes, God is a God of goodness. God is a God of glory. God is a God of strength. Yet there's times we wrestle. We wrestle with God. We wrestle with ourselves. It's because of our inward self that we wrestle with God. And the message for tonight, that title that had been given earlier, the trip to Jabbok, I wrestled with that one. I could almost not get that out of my mind for a while there. But then the Lord showed me that I need to speak about something else. And yet, I encourage you to go to that story of Jacob. Jacob was a man of service. He had issues in his life when he left his home, but he was determined to have the blessing of God, and the blessing of God was upon him. Yet as he served those many years as a man of service, serving his God, and he came back after 20 years, 20-some years, God still had a work to do. He still was restless. God wanted to do something more in his life. I think Jacob was a picture of a heart for God, but he needed a little more breaking. And brothers, we all need that at times. And here's what I want to share with you. If you're here looking for refreshment, looking for strength, looking to be fortified, that is good. I also plead with you to be here to ask God what He wants to do more in your life, that He might penetrate that outer man, and that inner man can be renewed to a whole new realm with the Spirit of God, so His Spirit can flow out. As Brother Dale said, in that team of God and His Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that shed His blood for us, and we're named in there, and we're together with Him, He wants to do a work in us and with us. And that work is not only preparing our own lives for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that work here today represents many servants of God and represents many souls behind you that need to be ready when the Lord Jesus returns. I'm going to read in Revelation 19 here in a little bit after I share this story. 8 years ago, I'm sharing this because I want us to know that sometimes we're here for refreshing. Sometimes we're here because we need encouragement. Sometimes we're here because someone else needs encouragement. So whatever God wants to do with you, may He bless you and be with you. 8 years ago, I was very low. Physically, I could barely walk. Emotionally, I was burned out. And spiritually, I learned in the course of being here, or prior to coming here somewhat and being here, it was the year of 2014, I believe it was. That was about 8 years ago. God needed to do a breaking in my life. I came here. I didn't want to come here. But I came anyway with the encouragement of a few brothers and fellow ministers. I was feeling very low. And as I was here, a man that I'd never seen before, I don't know if he'll be here or if he is here now. I don't see him here now. But after being here a day or so, this man started talking to me. And he didn't say much, but I think he could tell that something was wrong. And then he started asking me to open up, or just started sharing, and I started opening up to some of the things that I was struggling with and that I knew that God wanted to break in me. And I don't remember, was it the second night or not the first evening, but maybe the second evening or the third evening, there was a message, The Dark Night of the Soul. I don't know if any of you remember that message. And that message broke me, brothers. It was what I needed. And I must admit, it was very humiliating. In the sense, I say that because God wanted to humble me. I was taking my own way in a lot of ways. I was moving away from being connected to that vine. I was not ministering to fellow believers, my family, the way I should have. And as God broke me and brought me here, through these meetings and messages and many other messages throughout the next year or so, God did a work. And I'm sharing that with you, brothers, to say that if you're here and you feel like you don't want to be here, or you feel you don't know why you're here, there's a time to be here, to be broken, encouraged by the Word, to go deep with God and to wrestle with God. But my encouragement is, don't let the fear of man or your own pride take you down. If it feels humiliating, keep pressing in and ask for that blessing like Jacob did. Keep wrestling with God. I think God knew more so than what Jacob wanted, knew what he needed. Jacob kept persisting there in that scene at Jabbok, and I'm going to leave it with that, at the scene at Jabbok. Read that scene from the time that he was leaving Laban until the time he had orchestrated this perfect move and stage that he had set up to meet his brother Esau. And after wrestling with God, Esau passed by those flocks, didn't even hardly notice them. And he saw his brother bowing 7 times. That's what breaks us, brothers, when we bow our hearts and lay our pride down. Let us read here in Psalms 45. This kind of begins the message. Thou art fairer than children. This is now in verse 2 in Psalms 45. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God has blessed thee forever. I picture the psalmist here was this picture I want us to have here is of our King and Lord Jesus. He is the one that is above men. He is fairer than the children of men. No matter who delivers the best speech, the best prayers, we all need to put our heart in and give God our best. But there is one that helps us that is fairer than men. And that's the one that has a majesty riding prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. That word terrible things would be well translated. He has awesome things he wants to show us and teach us and reveal to us. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. When we walk with God, when you and I allow ourselves to become completely broken before the Lord Jesus, His righteousness and His scepter are before us. What's in the way if part of man is there? Self. And when self stands between this picture we see here and the Lord Jesus, he doesn't come through properly. The Spirit is not released at its best. And we can relate this. I parallel this many times. One of my heart's desires is to see the bride of Christ flourish and be ready when the Lord Jesus returns. All of us together. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad, kings' daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thy ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Here God, or the psalmist, brings in the picture of the woman or the daughters. And this reference goes to Revelation 19. I believe we can take this and parallel this, bringing the bride or the king's daughters into the scene. Here is the bride of Christ. And he wants to adorn that. He loves. We are here as men. We may not quite grasp this the same way. The women are not here with us these days. But I believe that the womanly character of a woman or a bride, or the womanly character that Jesus sees in the bride, is one of a queen of gold, of purity, coming forth as pure gold. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thy ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. You see some of the descriptions going on here, that the king really does desire the beauty of the bride. And we need to worship him as Lord. We want to. Out of the grace that he has given to us, the faithfulness he has brought to us, and the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. I'm going to stop there. I want you to notice here a few words here that are going to come with a thought that I believe the Lord had revealed and wanted me to share. And that is that the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. And the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. And it often refers to the bride of Christ, as in Revelations there, where it refers to the bride of Christ being adorned in fine linen. I believe that the picture we should have of the church is that God wants to do an adorning. And there's a handiwork going on. There's like a needlework. It says here that she shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework. There's a fine work going on when the Lord does the work. It is very intricate dealings with our hearts and the hearts of those around us. And so let's turn to Revelation 19. Take that verse, take a couple verses there into our thoughts here, into the theme of this message that the Lord has for us, and see how we can put that together with our hearts being broken before the Lord. The scene prior to Revelation 19 is where the great harlot Babylon and the Antichrist and is defeated, and the saints there. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. The saints are rejoicing now that the Lord has judged and defeated the enemy. Now this is a scene that is going to happen. What I believe we want to do with this scene today is, we keep this scene in mind. This is coming, brothers. This is a scene that we want to be ready for. This is a scene we don't want to miss. And we have a work to do to prepare ourselves and the bride for this scene. And that's my heart, that we are broken before Him to do this. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, has avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. This is the scene, the present scene that will be when this takes place. The wife has made herself ready. Now let's go to 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Brothers, has the wife made herself ready? I'm asking this as I reflect in my family or in the brothers and sisters around me. It says here that, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The last part of this verse here, we take note there, the word righteousness here is the word, and I'm not sure I can say this properly, but it's the word diakioō. And this word in the Greek means, that's the root word. The word is diakioma. And that is an action word. That is a word of righteous action going on. The righteousness of the saints there is the equitable deeds. That is one of the Greek, the Hebrew translation there, or the Greek translation is the equitable deeds, the righteous actions of the saints. And I believe as we live our lives broken before the Lord, and we spend and serve and give to the bride of Christ, God, it glorifies the Lord and it blesses Him when the actions and deeds that we do serving come flowing out of us because of the Spirit of God, not because of the wisdom of man, not because of our, some might be clever and say that, you know, we know how the church should function. We know how everything should be. Sometimes we as men we're prone to be efficiency authors, masters at efficiency. Brothers, I can say this, lay that efficiency down when it comes to working with the bride. It may work in your business, but it doesn't work well if you're working with God. God's ways. And the reason I say that is I've found myself, and even ourselves working together as a team of ministers and elders there, that at times, yes, there are times when we need to move forward and patience and forbearance needs to move into action. But brothers, if we're only wanting to get rid of a situation because our wisdom says this and this and thus equals the solution, and God has not prepared that heart, or our hearts are, if there's self or our own cleverness in the way, it says in Corinthians that our faith should stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the faith of God. So, let us not be efficiency experts in adorning this bride. Also, there's another side of that that I'm reminded of, that I want to bring out. And some of us, we can also, we can become so emotional and so feelings driven that takes us off the path of God as well. I believe God will give us a perfect moderation and balance if we're broken before Him. I want to show you something here of this fine linen. I appreciate object lessons, and as I was thinking of this, I thought, now, and this, I will say, does not do justice to the fine linen that you will see if we meet the Lord on that day. And He's pouring that fine linen on the righteousness of the saints. But here's a very clean, perfect, a very finely woven piece of linen. And as you look at this linen here, to those that are listening in, I have a very fine, silky, soft. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of man's ingenuity to weave something this fine. It's not as easy as weaving a coarse material like a sackcloth. This is actually sackcloth. This is much coarser because it's doubled up. I didn't cut it up. But if you take this, you can see through it. You can see the coarseness of this weave. And I'm going to hold this up to us. Eight years ago, I must say that the Lord God, by His grace, has probably done a work in many people that have come here and many that didn't come here even. But there's times when our inward man or the bride that we belong to is not really ready to be adorned with that fine linen. And I brought this along. Hopefully, brothers, we're not here in this way, but this is the very carnal man. Very coarse, very, very much not adorned in anything that God would want to adorn him in or her in. So I just brought those as an example that God wants to adorn us with this when that day comes, when the time is right. And we can do something. We have something to do while we serve this bride, brothers. And to do that, we need to have this inner man broken. I'm going to go to the theme in John 12. Let's turn to there. And Jesus said that unless a grain of wheat falleth into the ground, and it abides alone, it cannot bear fruit. Start reading in the Pharisees. Jesus was speaking to the people there. He entered Jerusalem there, and in verse 24, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Are we where Jesus is? Are we following Jesus? Brothers, if the outward man, what it's saying here, if the outward man wants to maintain its life, we can never be a blessing, or at least we are limited in the work and service that we do to His bride. And I'm going to use a word here that I don't know that's in the Bible, but I had to think of it over and over as I studied for this message. And the word is half broken. I have two older horses at home that I've kept because I keep thinking I'm going to spend more time with them and get them fully broke. It's one of those projects that I should have sold the horses a long time ago. And twice I got them to where I could drive them, almost ride them, got them almost useful, but today they're really not completely useful. And I liken that when a man, we must all come broken before the Lord before we can be born again. I believe that. And God breaks through, and He breaks us, and there's an initial sanctification going on, as it says. But God wants to further wash us in the Word, wants to further sanctify us, and there's more breaking, brothers, in my life that needs to go on than just that initial breaking. And back to this kernel of corn here. What is this kernel of corn? there's a couple verses, or there's some things here that I in Romans 7:22, it says, "For I delight in the law according to the inward man." The inward man and the outward man are two parts. And I'm going to use a couple references here in Romans 7 and Ephesians 3 to be strengthened with power by His Spirit in the inner man. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul also tells us, "But if indeed our outward man is consumed, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And it takes me to a thought there in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 where Paul is talking about the end. And he talks about that our body and soul and spirit. I'm sure I can quote that. I'd like to quote that properly. First Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "In the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And as I was thinking of the inward man being broken before God, and for us to know that we must never forget that unless this inward man is completely we can look around ourselves, we have this tendency to look around and we see this problem and we see that problem and we see this brother with a problem. And we see if we could fix that brother and his problem. And it's so easy. It's only natural. It's only earthy for us to look at the problem around us and in front of us. But brothers, I believe many times the real problem is not what we see in others, but it's what we struggle to see in ourselves. I have here, this is a picture of a kernel of corn. I grew up in the feed business and I love agriculture. I love plants. And I like what plants do with the nature of God. This kernel of corn came to my thoughts. It's very intriguing that the kernel of corn is a three-layered description, very close to the description of man, of body, soul, and spirit. The outer layer of the kernel of corn is a very hard shell that protects that kernel until it goes into the soil that it was prepared to go into. And we could have a message on soil being prepared. But right now, if we this kernel of corn has a lot of protection until it has soil contact, until it has moisture, until God moves with everything in place and He wants to break that outer shell. That outer shell is very tough, and it can very much depict the outer man. When that outer shell is broken, that kernel of corn is ready to receive more of the moisture and the nutrients that want to go into it to make it into something that is fruitful. You can look around. As you drove here these days, this beautiful harvest that is about to come, Lord has blessed us abundantly. And there's many fruitful ears out there in those fields. And as I look across those fields, and they're almost ready for harvest, I had to marvel at God's work. And I wondered, is His work being done that well in humanity, in the souls of men? The second part of this kernel of corn, which is about 80 to 82%, is called the endosperm, which I'm not here to give a science lesson on corn kernels, but it's the starchy part. It is the part that, part of that starch is harder than the other parts, but it's also a part that needs to be broken into. And I liken that into the mind and the will, the soul of man, that is controlled by his inner spirit unless something else is put there to control that spirit. And that is much breaking that needs to go through there. There's much penetration that needs to go through that second layer. I'm going to call that second layer on this kernel of corn the outward man. And the outer layer of this kernel of corn is the outermost man. Maybe you could say that's our physical body, our shell of our, what you see myself and you in. And then there's another part in this kernel of corn. You know what that is? It's the heart. It's the germ. It's really where the life is. It's where the life of that kernel of corn comes forth from. And I'm going to liken that to the inward man, the spirit of man, our very inner man. In that germ, now this is amazing what God has put together. In that germ of a kernel of corn lies the genetic code for what it's going to produce. In you and in me, God has a plan. He has written a code that He wants to see, brothers. He has a code written for each one of us to adorn His bride with. The righteous deeds of us as saints that have had the outer shell broken and have had that inner, that second outer shell renewed day by day. There's a genetic code there. That's where the nutrients, the very enzymes are at that feed that germ. That's where the oil of a kernel of corn is hidden around that germ. The anointing of the Lord is there. So the question is not whether life exists in me or you, but what are we going to allow that life? Are we going to allow that life of God to be put in there? The Spirit of God. Are we going to allow not only that to be put in the very heart, the very germ of our being these days here? That's what we're here for. We're here. There may be enzymes here. There may be encouragement here. There may be strength here to feed that germ in me and in you. But there also may be, we have to ask ourselves, is the Spirit of God, has it really penetrated in our hearts to release that genetic code that He's written for His bride? So whether that shell has been cracked open and the Spirit of God has taken control in your life and my life, I know He has worked much in my life, and I believe He's worked much in many of your lives. And I want to invite Him, along with you, to keep working these days. As we hear the Word, as we hear it being preached, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. The spirit of man you know, I used to think that if someone's spirit is broken, I used to train horses, and I thought if a horse's spirit was completely broken, it wasn't a good horse. And I don't believe that God, when God wrestled with Jacob there, and He touched him, and He put a mark, a physical mark on his thigh, a reminder. I don't believe that that has to crush our spirit, but our spirit needs to be broken to the point that God can enter in. And not only enter in, the question we need to ask ourselves, I believe, is the Spirit being released? Is it flowing out? As He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And that's that Spirit. We must know, brothers, that he who can work righteous actions for God is one, or is a man whose inward spirit has been broken, or, as we might say there in Acts, that we heard in Acts 20:28 there, I believe it was, where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God Himself is working with us to feed the flock, or to encourage one another, to lift one another up. And not only that, to lift the sword of the Lord, that it could be done justly and rightly and not by compromise. We as men tend to also compromise. Compromise is another selfish, inward man position. So I believe we need to recognize that before God and ourselves, that the first difficulty to fruitful labors and righteous deeds, and to prepare the saints to be adorned with that fine linen that God wants to adorn with when He returns. I'll turn this up. This is a work half completed. This is one side of a garment. Only saying that, God is not finished. But little is much when God is in it. Brothers, let our grain of self be broken and our germ fall into the ground. Let our self die so that there can be righteous, truly, the righteous deeds. We want our life to be full of righteous deeds. And yet I cringe when I say that, brothers, because as soon as I turn to self, those are like filthy rags. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, as they said there in Revelations, must have all the worship and all the glory, for only He is worthy, brothers. Only He is worthy. Let us worship Him in spirit and in truth here these days. We'll close with that, brothers. We'll turn the time over to you, Brother Dale.